like to continue on to number 16?
A short break.
Okay. A short break? Okay, let's make it short. 10 minutes, 4:30.
4:30.
We're not. 1 minute. 2 minutes? 2 minutes. Okay, let's do that. Agenda item 16.
Agenda item 16. The subject is funding for special projects. And it's listed in your blue sheet here in item 16 in two parts. The first is for consideration of revising money that has already been allocated by the board to the Low Impact Development Center. That is revising how that money is actually used, the money that's already been allocated, not a change in the allocation. Number two on the heading here is a little bit misleading because it just refers to the American Land Conservancy request for $950,000 for the Wild Cherry Canyon Conservation Project. That would have been more accurate to say part two would be consideration of all requests, other requests, for funding, because we have other requests that are listed in here besides the American Land Conservancy request. But nevertheless, basically two parts. The first part having to do with what we're recommending for the LID Center, and we would like to deal with that actually separately. And then the second part has to do with multiple requests for money that the board has not yet allocated from the Guadalupe Settlement funds. And number one is kind of broken into parts 1A and 1B because the board itself asked for Dr. Darla Inglis of the Low Impact Development Center to also provide a status report on how it's going. So we're folding that into this as well. And with that, you've got it. So there you go. Michael Thomas will kick it off.
Thanks, Roger. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, as Roger said, this item has two parts. And we're separating them. We're going to do the one part and ask the board to make a decision on it, and then we'll move on to the second part. The first part deals with the Low Impact Development Center and giving you an update on that and asking you to allow us to adjust how we spend the funds that the board already allocated to the LID Center. And the second part is about a separate pot of money that is not being allocated to any project and the various projects that the board can consider at this time for allocation, or not allocating those monies at all, which is our recommendation at this time. So the first part of the presentation is about the LID Center, the status of the center, and our fund recommendation. And we will be asking the board to make a decision on this item before moving on to the second part. The board allocated $2.35 million to the LID Center back in February of 2008. And after that, Roger and I started negotiating with the LID Center of Maryland to set up an office here. Neil Weinstein, who is the director, agreed to do that. He started looking for candidates to be the director of the office here, ended up hiring Dr. Darla Inglis, who's here today to talk to you and give a brief presentation. And when we were, before the LID Center opened, we were, our stormwater program was focused on the very basics of stormwater permitting, which I refer to as housekeeping here at the lower end of the hierarchy. And I don't mean that it's not important. It is very important. Things like the general BMPs for things like street sweeping or illicit discharges, education and outreach, things like that. We were heavily focused on that. If you remember about 3 or 4 years ago, many of our board meetings, we took up whole board meetings with discussions on those items. And then after a year or so, we moved into low-impact development and started requiring low-impact development in stormwater management plans, and basically that municipalities had to include low-impact development elements on design in their design of projects, individual developments. We've now moved on to hydro modification control. You heard a lot about that today when we were talking about Grover Beach. It is one of the most complex subjects that we will ever deal with as a water board and as staff. It's highly complex. We need an organization like the LID Center and Dr. Inglis to help us implement hydro modification control in our region and to help municipalities implement it throughout our region. We have 30 to 60 municipalities that we're currently working with now to try and get on board with the hydromodification control requirements and criteria. And where we're going to this ultimately is whole watershed protection. In our swamps and on the wall behind you, you know, our goal and our vision is to achieve watershed protection over the next several generations. In order for us to do that, one of the key elements is hydromodification control and hydromodification control criteria. So in achieving the whole watershed protection, we have to do this initial work. There's no way around it. We've got to do the hydromodification control work. To achieve that, you know, region-wide, what we're talking about is 7 million acres of land. There's 11,000 square miles on the Central Coast region. That's 7 million acres. That's what the board is responsible for, right, the entire region. And ultimately, the work that we're doing now through the LID Center is going to apply to our entire region. All of the other programs in our office are also going in the same direction. We're gearing them up, aligning them to achieve watershed scale protection. So we're getting alignment throughout our organization, and much of that is going to be based on this work. As I mentioned, back in February of last year, 2008, the board allocated $2.35 million to the LID Center, actually 2.25, and then 6 months later, an additional $100,000 to make $2.35 million. At this time, the LID Center and Water Board staff are working on several other funding proposals where we're going after additional money. The two on the left side of the screen, $120,000 to the State Board and $600,000 to the State Board. Those are proposals that we wrote to ask the State Board to help fund the hydromodification control work that the LID Center is doing with our municipalities. And the reason that we're asking the State Board for that money through the cleanup and abatement account is because the work that the LID Center would be doing on hydromodification control in our region overlaps completely with the work that the State Board is trying to do right now, our State Board staff is trying to do right now in their work statewide. So there's a strong overlap there, and that's the reason why we're asking for that money from the cleanup abatement account. And Dr. Inglis and I met with Fran Weber and State Board staff a couple of weeks ago and talked to them about what we're doing and why we're asking for this money. And the last I heard, which is just today, we are on schedule for going before the State Board regarding those funds on June 16th. The LID Center is also working on a $1 million proposal for Prop 84 money, and all of the bond money, Prop 84 bond money, is on hold, as you know, because of the budget situation. So that a proposal is written or mostly written, and it's ready to go when those funds open up again. The LID Center is also aware of the stimulus funds that are being made available as they are allocated by Congress or the administration. So the LID Center is keeping track of those and the opportunities that they represent. And we're also now thinking about what foundation funds we can apply for, such as the Packard Foundation. And Roger and I have met with the Resources Legacy Fund Foundation, which is a branch of the Packard Foundation, and talked to them about what we're doing with the LID Center and the direction we're going, and they were interested. So we're going to work on that and see if we can get additional funds there as well. So with that, I'll hand it over to Dr. Inglis, and then I'll come back and make a recommendation to the board about how to spend the remaining endowment for the LID Center.
Thank you, Michael. Well, I'm getting used to your schedules. My notes from earlier today to start this conversation was to say good morning, everybody, and welcome, but now it's good afternoon. So thank you very much for providing me an opportunity to come and talk a little bit about the Low Impact Development Center, especially some of the accomplishments that we've achieved over the past 8.5 months or so. As you can imagine, there's a substantial amount of effort in the beginning of starting any new program. And for me, that has been a substantial amount of work looking at developing new relationships with stakeholders in the area, gaining a better understanding of the technical policy and regulatory issues that are unique to this region, and then taking that information and developing it into a very targeted work plan. I'm very pleased that the elements in the work plan that we have that are in your materials are actually moving forward, and most items are on schedule. I thought what I would do is just highlight a few of the items for you, as well as bring up a few additional efforts that have been going on that you might find of interest. So this year, last March, we started doing our training, which was one of the high priority items in the work plan. So we conducted four trainings. And I'm saying we, it's only me here in this office, but I get help from the staff in Maryland, so I'm not doing the royal we. But we've been doing work for the training. We did three training series in March that were spread across the region that included developers, consultants, planners, municipal staff, getting people aware of even the terminology around low-impact development and the concepts and the principles and some of the construction-type elements, getting people really geared up to understand some basic level of information around this topic. Secondly, one of the immediate things I heard when I came here was that there wasn't enough information around vegetation. Certain types of bioswales, rain gardens, and the like are very specialized in the type of vegetation that's required. So we've been developing templates that will be available soon for this region so that people can go in and know exactly what sort of templates, what types of vegetation that they need to use. Sort of like when you go to a Sunset Magazine article and it says, plant exactly like this. Very user-friendly type approach. Another product that is in draft form is our frequently asked questions, which you may like in the fact that it includes questions like, what is the relationship between low-impact development, smart growth, new urbanism, et cetera, as well as other questions that municipalities tend to ask about, can flood control be compatible with low-impact development objectives? Many, many common types of questions. Additionally, I've been working with some of the regional board staff in being very proactive in getting in and talking to some developers that are actually getting ready to plan projects, trying to get in at the upfront end and share low-impact development design principles and concepts so that they can start off at the right foot with how they're looking at their subdivision projects rather than waiting until getting until the end of the process. And that's been very successful so far, and I'm finding that generally, people are very willing to entertain that type of conversation and want to do the right thing. They just need to know the tools on how to put that design forward. A lot of the work that I've been doing, given the financial time, has been leveraging resources to the extent possible. This region as a whole doesn't have a lot of money. You know, it's not a San Bernardino, it's not a Los Angeles, it's not a San Francisco. So there's really a desire on my part to leverage as many resources as possible, both to try to get as much as we can for this region, as well as not reinventing the wheel on work that's going on across the state and across the nation that's very, very good work. So I'm going to mention a couple of those things. Michael already mentioned the State Board stormwater staff, for example, that I've been working with. They're in the process of drafting their Phase 2 stormwater NPDES permit. I've been working with them on trying to align the LID objectives that are for Region 3 into that permit. It's been very successful so far. They've been very open to the conversation, very open to including language that's very compatible with the types of language that's coming from this region. And I believe that what we'll see is probably the greatest amount of consistency between that state permit and Region 3 than practically any place else between the other regions of the state. So that's it's a very good thing moving forward. Also, I've been working with the CASQA quite a bit, the California Stormwater Quality Association. And in fact, I proposed to them that some of the products that we were going to be creating in for this region, like the frequently asked questions and the vegetative templates, that if I provided that to them, would they build a website through CASQA that's an LID virtual site, in which case not only would people in this region get the benefit of what was being created through the LID Center, but they would also be getting other information, very good information that's coming in from across the state. So it's a way to leverage. CASQA is going to be picking up some of the bill on putting that website together. I will also mention, I think the first time I was introduced to this group, to the board, there was an interest that I work with universities and make sure not to forget about sort of the academic realm in this region. The Santa Cruz Resource Conservation District as part of their Prop 84 wish list, wanted to start evaluating cap and trade, fee in lieu, some of the materials that you heard people talking about earlier. You know, what do you do when you can't get LID or hydro modification to work on a parcel? How do you do it at a broader watershed scale? They have that on their wish list. As we've heard, there hasn't been the solicitations for the Prop 84. So instead, what I did was hooked up with a very brilliant graduate student at UC Santa Cruz who's done a lot of policy work, a lot of technical work, hooked that person up with the Santa Cruz group. She's going to be doing her entire thesis on that topic, but at the same time, she's also working with me so that there will be policy issues, approaches, options, legal elements written up that can be used for this whole region. So these are some examples of sort of trying to leverage what's out there for this region. I think the last one that I'll mention that I like because it's more grassroots is I've been able to get commitment from various groups in the region, landscape architects, some of the folks who are horticulturists, nurseries, who have said that they will actually donate services for three bioswales somewhere in the region so we can do some retrofit. They're willing to do the grading. They're willing to do all the work. They're basically willing to do it for free. So by pulling together those types of resources and creating those connections, we start attaining some of the objectives that we want to see here for the Low Impact Development Center and for the vision of a healthy watershed. And I think lastly what I'd mentioned is on the work plan, I'm very committed to creating usable and feasible performance measures for this program. Right now, I would say that the primary indicators that we can use would be cost avoidance on some of these examples that I've mentioned. The training had evaluation forms pre and post that were associated with it that showed everybody basically learned and improved on their knowledge of LID. There are also things like just being able to see increased knowledge, in fact, working with the regional board staff and seeing them increasing their knowledge. And seeing these partnerships and trust forming is really a large thing. But I'd like to add more rigor to that to have a more robust program so that it can be used to really shape the program in its entirety. So I wanted to keep some of those highlights very brief to allow you to ask me any questions that you would like before moving back to Michael.
Any questions? Mr. Shallcross?
Yeah, have you been meeting with the jurisdictions who are, you know, who are having to implement, produce and implement stormwater plans?
Yes. I've met with almost every single MS4 during my time. A lot of the, as you can imagine, okay, the pressure's been on the hydro modification.
Right.
And you've heard already that I've been promoting a collaborative approach to looking at hydro modification controls as I believe is a better environmental value. I've been working with a lot of those NDs, everything from providing just basic LID information so that they get the concepts and know what it is they're trying to articulate to the other end of the spectrum of getting into some fairly technical details about where they're going.
And do you do that over the entire region or are you restricted to this area?
Santa Cruz, Santa Barbara.
Entire region.
Okay. So have you met with Salinas?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
She made friends with Carl.
So Carl's my buddy. Good. Let's see. Oh, and these trainings. Who were you training?
The training was open to consultants, developers, municipal staff. It pulled in, I would say, primarily the consultant and developer realm.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm doing next is offering an invitation to all the municipalities to go there, basically individually. A lot of them could not attend the locations because economically they may not be allowed to drive outside of their city, county, etc. So I'm going to be taking that more door to door over the next several months.
Okay, good. Now, when you're working with the state on the general permit and with CASQA, is that coming out of, I'll say, our money? Or do you have other monies that you do that work on?
I split it as I see appropriate. If I feel that it's something that's going to directly benefit this region, I charge it to this endowment. If it's something where we're starting to talk about larger water quality, regulatory implications, or this, that, and the other, I keep that to what is comes out of the LID Center's budget in Maryland.
Great, thanks. And okay, I just have questions for Michael. We can get back to him. Thank
you. Can I follow up on that?
No.
The examples of Dr. Inglis working with our municipalities. Several months ago, about six months ago or so, the municipalities were lining up. They were collaborating among themselves to fight us on the height of modification control requirements. That's how they were collaborating. And now, 6 or 7 months later, they're collaborating with the LID Center to figure out how to implement those height of modification requirements. And what's that worth? It's hard to put a value on that, but it's worth a lot. Mm-hmm.
And that was, I think that's what you were referring to, Dr. Inglis, over here, as far as avoided cost, in part.
Correct.
You used that term, but I'm not sure that really translated.
And another example is, I mentioned the $1 million proposal for Property 4 funds. Dr. Inglis has been working with the municipalities to get them on board to collaborate for those funds. And I can't remember how many you had on board.
36.
That's a lot of collaborating. So that's, you know, if those funds do open up again, we're in a strong position to apply for them, that $1 million.
Mr. O'Malley.
Thank you. Well, that was a nice segue for me, Michael, because I was one of those cities, I think, when there were a lot of concerns about definitions and implementation, and I couldn't be more ecstatic about having you on board and with what I've seen. I think just your phrases about jurisdictions wanting to do the right thing and wanting to leverage resources, and you're pinning down to some very specific doable alternatives, and I just think it's just a wonderful program, and I think it does get us working together where we ought to be and where we want to be. I just wanted to follow up briefly. I assume you have worked with Home Builders Association, or you will work with organizations like that. There were some concerns about debt. I bet you can even define pre-development versus pre-project.
Yes, but I can.
You don't have to do it now. They'd kick me off my first day if we talked about that anymore. But I just wanted to thank you for what you've done. I really support this program. I think it's going to be very helpful with cities.
Okay. Question I have for you, were you here this morning and listened to the Grover Beach item?
Yes, I was.
Okay. What has been your experience? You know, typically we just hear all of the negative assertions and claims that, you know, we need more time, it can't be done this way. And do you have a sense for how much of that is just based on lack of knowledge and how to do LID and HydroMod, or there's some pretty factually true assertions that there's some different things about, you know, this region or California because it's more arid, mm-hmm. that may lend some truth to that?
So just to give you a little bit of background about myself to be able to answer that.
I know you're from Seattle.
Yes.
Right, and I'm very well aware of that program, but that's a lot of rainfall, flooding issues that really, I think, has driven LID, if I'm not too mistaken.
The climate's different, but yeah. I was also the water quality program manager, and I was responsible for all the code revisions to bring about stormwater flow control, hydro modification here, and all the elements that it took to actually implement a program like that, separate from whatever the climate was like.
Okay.
So some is a bit of a fear factor and not understanding all the pieces that need to go in place. Some of it is that the work, it's a significant amount of work, both technically in coming up with the hydro modification criteria and coming up with good ones that have good environmental value associated with them. And at the same time, in parallel, having to develop all the implementation aspects so that you can put those criteria in place. Are you in a fully developed area with small parcels and retrofit is very difficult? What's the quality of the receiving water body in that area? What types of ordinances and codes do you need to change in order to be able to implement that work? How much time do you need ahead of that to be able to go to your own council to get the approval to do that? It takes time, even with the most well-meaning of cities, to be able to put that work forward. But go forward, you must. So, you know, trying to find out an efficient way to do that is what we all struggle with, I think. Did that answer your question a little bit?
It does, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It does. Yeah. Okay. Michael?
Okay. So, as I mentioned, the board has allocated $2.35 million to the LID Center. $2 million of that is in an endowment. $350,000 was set up as flexible funding to be used on day-to-day operations for the center. The $350,000 will be expended by the end of July, on or about the end of July. We might be able to stretch a little further, but it'll be right around there. The $2 million is still in place. It has, because of the decrease in the market, it has gone down. The last time I checked, which was several weeks ago, it was about $1.8 million. So what we are asking the board to do today, well, before that, I'll talk about comments received. We only received a few comments on this item. The Coastal Commission commented and recommended that we continue funding the center and increase the funding because they're very excited about the collaboration that they're able to do with the center, so they're strongly supportive. The Planning Commission of San Luis Obispo County also responded very favorably and said it's been great to work with Dr. Inglis, and they look forward to expanding their collaboration. And the state board and state board staff said very positive things. So the only feedback that I have heard about the center and Dr. Inglis has been very positive from the municipalities and everyone involved. So that's been pretty good. So our recommendation is that the board adopt the revised resolution, Resolution 0064, with language that allows us to spend down the endowment instead of using it the way it is currently set up. The way it's currently set up is we only use the interest earned or the market gain, and there is none. And these are the funds that we need to operate the center beyond July 2009. So we're asking you to change the language in the resolution to allow us to spend down those funds. If we continue to spend funds the way we have been, that $1.8 million will support the center for about 5 years, five more years after July. And I say about because it depends on what we ask the center to do. If we ask the center to do a lot more work and Dr. Inglis needs to either hire additional staff or hire subcontractors, then we would go through that money faster. If we find additional funds to augment these, which we're going to continue to keep doing, the money would last more than 5 years.
All right.
Also, if I think you're assuming that if the zero rate of return continued for 5 years.
That's a safe bet, yeah.
Okay, we have one speaker on this item, at least, before. I know you made a recommendation.
Yes.
Were you thinking that we would vote on
yes,
that
I want,
component?
Yes, we want you to, the board, to make a decision about this before we move on to
right,
the other
okay.
projects and the other pot of money.
Mr. Perlman, which component did you want to speak to? It's been split up, so if anyone wanted to speak to the LID... Well, it's this LID proposal for funding, and then we have
other projects,
other
including
projects,
the Cherry Canyon project.
Including Cherry Canyon.
Maybe it's best just to go ahead, and then you could pull if you find me. So let me just go ahead and speak about LID in general, then. Is that okay?
Not generally. This is a specific proposal before the board for funding the LID Center. If you want to talk to that, that's fine, but not LID in general. That's not what we're dealing with
right
now.
You could do that in public forum.
You could do that in the public forum if you want to.
Let me attempt to, if you could give me exactly one minute on the clock, maybe, and let me just proceed to that. I think I'll end up going around in circles if I get too specific.
Why don't you go practice in the hall? Figure out what you want to say and then come back.
Okay, I have two speakers. Mr. Perlman, you want 1 minute? I'll give you 1 minute on this. And then, Mr. Burrow, you had asked for time on LID? Okay.
Well, maybe Mr. Burrow can go first, then.
You're here now. Let's go.
Clock's going.
All right. Well, LED is good. I am recommending the board proceed as it is intended. It is not clear to me how specific I can be on various projects. I am Alon Perlman from Los Osos. Los Osos, under a zero project, which you know isn't an option, actually doesn't need LID. We have no new construction under this current conditions, and we do not, and we have sands and no sidewalks. However, in the future, we will have many projects will require LID in order to restore the waters. One thing that I specifically would like to mention is a specific project. The Palisades project, which is located under Broderson, will be collecting, it will be draining the east side of Los Osos and will be sending a lot of water to the mid-side sets. If there's a possibility with a public works director present here from the county, that type of project be funded through LID. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Could I just make a suggestion?
Yes, Mr. Shalvin.
In the future, if people come up and they don't know what the subject is, then maybe we shouldn't give them a minute that they should be talking about.
Well,
I mean, if they come up to talk on us on what we're looking at, then they should know what we're looking at, not just come up and say, well, let me talk, and if what I'm talking about fits what you're wanting to hear, then let me talk.
What can I do, Mr. Shallcross? You put agenda item 16 down, and so it covers this, and I just, okay. Before I allow the board to vote on something, I want to make sure that he's just had his, I know you, okay. Mr. Barrow, 3 minutes.
Thank you. First of all, thanks for this presentation. I think it's a very positive approach, proactive approach to saving water and saving runoff sedimentation in creeks and streams. And I think Dr. English could quantify how much water you're actually going to be saving, because there is a lot of water out there, and you put it in swales, and you're talking a lot of acre feet of water. And I think we're in a drought here. We only got, 8 inches of rain here this year? So this is an important approach. And I think you could also contact architects who do the design on projects instead of just builders. I don't know if you've done that or not, but I would recommend that you contact the architect organizations and see if they can distribute that. And the Slow Green Build distributes their information at the county planning departments. If you could put some documentation there, I don't know if this is enough funding for doing that, but that would also spread the word out and at least get your website out, and then you can put your information out there. It's a really important issue. I know I only use 20 gallons of water a day, and I put little swales where I live, and I'm a renter, so the water doesn't run off property. The county has an ordinance that says you have to keep all your water on site. They haven't enforced it. That I would encourage the board to ask the county to be a little bit more proactive about the laws, the ordinance for keeping the water on site. Thank you, and best of luck to you all.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, that concludes our speakers for this component. Mr. Thomas?
Yeah, so the recommendation is for you to adopt the revised resolution, and I can put the resolution on the screen if you'd like to see it. The language is basically just says allowing the executive officer to spend down the $2 million endowment.
Okay. Any board comments or questions before we have a motion? Mr. Shalcross?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to support this, obviously. I think it's a great program, and I think the doctor's doing a great job. Perhaps next time, what I would like to have seen in this report are some numbers, a budget. I mean, we spent $350,000, and I have no idea where any of those dollars went. Now, I'm going to trust you on this one, but next time I'd like to see...
Beer and cigarettes.
Well, that's fine, but I just want to know about it.
I don't think she smokes.
Mr.
Okay, Mr. O'Malley.
Just add one comment. I would suggest you contact each council of governments, which exists in each county, made up of all municipalities and the county board of supervisors, because I think just the experience I know what cities and municipalities are going through, I think they would be supportive and also supporting this program. And I think I would take a shot at that if you for getting some extra funding. With that, I'd be happy to recommend we adopt staff's recommendation.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Thank you very much. Motion carries. Okay. Second.